But it's very good to be back with you all. And I pray God's grace and peace be on you as we walk through this message together and look at the end here today of the Sermon on the Mount. The last time that I was with you here 2 weeks ago, Jesus concluded that section of the Sermon on the Mount with the Golden Rule. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. It was so important what Jesus had just said there that he finished it up by saying, this is the law and the prophets. It covers everything in the Old Testament that God gave as his word to guide Israel. Do unto others as that you would have them do unto you. Pretty much, besides along with, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's everything that God is telling us to do. That is the law of God. And God sets a very high bar. I mean, in fact, his bar is perfection. And Jesus comes today with specific warnings to the people about how they should live if they want to be a member of the kingdom of heaven. So it's a good moment to stop here and remind ourselves of Jesus said this a couple of times to the crowds. But in Matthew 11:15, he said to the crowds, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is saying some of the most important words for us to live by. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dearest Jesus, Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, for the way that you have made yourself known to us, for the truths that you enlighten to us every day of our lives, if we will but hear. And Lord, it's so difficult sometimes to hear with all the noise around us, with the world pulling us in every direction, Lord. But you have given us clear guidance of how you want your people to live. In that fact, Lord, you love us so much you died for us. So thank you for these truths, Lord, and lead us here this morning. Amen. Now, as I said a minute ago, today we are going to read the last 17 verses of Matthew 7, the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. And in these verses, Jesus gives some specific warnings and graphic warnings regarding the kingdom of heaven. And a failure on our part to take these things seriously that Jesus says results in some dire consequences in our life. In fact, he warns us of three specific dangers as we walk through this. First, the tendency to downplay the rigorous demands of discipleship. We'll talk about that in verses 13 and 14. That there are false teachers out there that will lead us astray. By word and deed, what they teach can lead us to hell, actually, if we are not careful. Because they say that disciples can be disciples while persisting and living in our sin. And then finally, maybe the most scary one, is the idea that it's enough simply to hear Jesus' words and teaching, that we do not have to put his teachings into practice. And those are some pretty significant warnings that Jesus gives us today. So let's start here with verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Now, Jesus paints for us literally the fork in the road type of a picture, right? There are two ways to go. The way of sin is wide and easy. The way of holiness is narrow and hard. But there are only two ways. There's a right and a wrong. There's a good and an evil, just like there's a heaven and a hell. There's no middle road. We love to try and skirt that middle road, don't we? I mean, it's my favorite place to be, is to just try and play it, quote, down the middle. And both of these roads end in eternity. Eternity swallows up every earthly life, every person. So there is an end to each. There's a destination. Now, the way of sin is easy, and it's very alluring, and Jesus said many travel it. You know, on that road, we are free to feed all of our indulgences and desires, aren't we? It's attractive to both the flagrant sinner, those who are proud of their sins and reject God, and it's also home to the hypocrites, right? Those who love to look good but have no intention of really following Jesus' word. And it's comfortable because there are abundant hikers along that road with you. There are a good many people we can walk with. But Jesus warns us, this road leads to destruction. You know, it should, like Dante's gate in his book, The Inferno, it should have a signpost that reads, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." Because as we feed our indulgences, life spirals out of control. We've all seen it, right? And Jesus contrasts this way with the way that leads to life. It's a straight gate. He says it's hard to find and get through. It might almost even be like squeezing between two rocks. The older I get, the more I find how difficult that is, right? And the narrowness and the difficulty on that road, they frighten us. This is a road that involves rebirth, regeneration, renewal. You know, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. The old self must die. And that's hard for all of us, isn't it? To let that old self die. Because when the old self dies, everything that we've been doing, at least most of what we've been doing, the way we've been living, must be undone. And that is difficult for us. So being narrow, many people miss it or reject it because they don't want to be confined to it. Or it's also extremely easy to find ourselves in the ditch when we're trying to walk this road, isn't it? And while it leads to life, we have to walk the entire path still. There are days it'd be really nice to be like, Jesus, just take me home. You know, because it's like this veil of tears, this world offers enough issues and problems and struggles and difficulties. But we're called to walk this road. And the thing is, we actually get to walk it with others. Maybe not as many others as walk the way that is wide and easy, but we do get to walk it with others. And that is such an encouragement. And not only that, but Jesus tells us this road leads to life, and he has promised he will walk with us as well. Jesus walks this road with us. So while it may be difficult and hard at times, he is walking there right alongside of us. Verses 5 to 20, or 15 to 20, Jesus carries on. And now he talks about a tree and his fruits. And this is where he warns us of the false prophets. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by your fruits, or by their fruits. Now prophets not only prophesied the future, but their job also was to teach the people, right? And this is why Jesus warns us, be careful of who you listen to. These false prophets, they run the gamut, right? Some openly oppose Christ and are easy to spot, easy to ignore, and we just walk away. But others can be quite convincing. Just like the Pharisees, they sound good to our ears. We're convinced these people know God. And then it's like, oh, we have to watch them. And one of the ways that it's quite easy to find teachers who you want to be more leery of are those who are judgmental of others, right? Jesus already warned us, don't judge in God's place. Isaiah phrased it this way as we read in our lesson this morning, though. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. I mean, we see this in our world, right? Many mainline Christian denominations have started to say certain things aren't sin. We see this most prevalent in the area of sexual sin, but there's so much that the church is willing to be like, well, we're not called to judge, so we can't tell you what's right or wrong. We are all sinners, large and small. There's no doubt about it, right? And this is why Jesus warns us against judging. He tells us don't judge others. But we've gone a step further, and now we say, well, everything is acceptable. Isn't it? Everything is A-OK. And the Lord is telling us in Isaiah that we don't have that authority. We need to love others, and we need to tell them the truth, that there is a road, a narrow road, a wide road. There are ways to live. There is God's holy, perfect standard. But we don't get to say what's right and wrong, good and evil. The Lord has already laid that out. One of the things that the churches have really done and we find very acceptable in life, though, is to say, oh, everything's good and I won't judge you. When someone says that, they're lying to you, right? We all have that heart of a judge within our bosom, right? Don't we? But we are called to love and lead people to truth. Such church leaders can become very popular and their churches will grow like mad. But I guess one of the ways I try to discern what's maybe right and wrong is by relying on what Jesus said about himself. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. Those words from John 15 are so important. Because if you start following something that the world loves, even if it's dressed up in clothing that makes it look righteous, it may just be wrong. God's standards are the only standards that we can apply to our lives, right? So Jesus warns us to be careful of such people. And to let everyone know just how serious God takes this issue, in verse 19 again, Jesus prophesied destruction for those when he said, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He then said some of the scariest words we ever read in the Bible. There are plenty of scary passages about hell and judgment and death, but in verses 21 to 23, Jesus said this: not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This passage confirms that Jesus, that God weighs our hearts and our minds and our beliefs, right? The Pharisees were great at what I would call performance religion, right? Performance art, we've all know that term. They could make themselves look holy and righteous and talk a good game. And Jesus has already warned the people, do not seek the praises of men. But now he speaks of the consequences of such a practice. One can be outward, humble, and holy, yet never really know God. And we really need to believe Do we believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior? Do we believe that God created us in His image? I used to tell the youth when I was working with them years ago, the easiest thing about Christianity, or the easiest thing to do in Christianity, is believe. The hardest thing to do in Christianity is believe. Because there's a huge step from saying, I believe, to living, I believe. The words are easy to say. And so Jesus warns, as we stand before the judgment throne, the true intentions of our heart will be laid bare. And we'll be called account for it. Did we call ourselves Christians just because our parents were? We were raised that way, right? Do we pretend to know Jesus, go to church so people thought well of us? You know, James even wrote in the verses that we didn't read today that the demons in hell believe in God and they shudder. They know He's true. But it's not enough to just say we believe. We need to believe in our hearts and in our minds. I mean, that's why Paul wrote, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. We need to believe in our heart. That's why Paul wrote in the love chapter that grace and love are more excellent waves than if you have the ability to move mountains or speak in tongues or even sacrifice yourself. Because you can only live in God's love and grace and show God's love and grace to other people if you truly believe you've received it from the Lord. And then Jesus finished up the Sermon on the Mount with a short parable that's familiar to you all. Verses 24 to 27 we read, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Again, with this simple parable, Jesus informs us of what leads to life, right? We're building a house. Building a house is a lifetime endeavor, especially in those days. It provides shelter and it protects us all the days of our life, right? And the hearers of Christ's words were everyone there, but they were divided into two camps. Those who heard and did, and those who heard and did not. Jesus preached to a varied and mixed audience, right? There were Roman soldiers, there were people traveling through, there were the Jews that came out to see Him. And His words separated them just like He talked about in the parable of the sheep and the goats on the last day. You're either A or you're B. And in this parable, He used that example of building the house on the rock, right? On a firm foundation, or the foolish one who built his house on the sand, and it fell. It did not survive, did it? Paul took this example, and as we read in 1 Corinthians today, he wrote, "No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So now he's talking to Christians. This is who we have to build our house on. But he even talks about what we build our lives with, right? "If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done." Jesus is saying, you can't just hear my words and say, "Uh-huh, that sounds great, Lord." It's not like I shouldn't listen to Jesus the way I listen to Doreen, right? Where like 5 minutes later, it's like, "What did you say to me, honey?" I better give a lot more attention to both, actually, right? but a lot more attention to my Lord and listen to him. James captured it by saying this: be doers of the words, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We are called to live Jesus' words into action. Not just hear them and know them, but to live them. That's what Jesus is saying. And after he'd finished up saying these things to the people, we read the last two verses that Matthew recorded, because Jesus' words cut us to the heart when we really hear them. In verses 28 and 29, we read about the people's reaction. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. The crowds recognized right away the authority of Jesus' word. I mean, again, they cut to the heart. And along with the miracles that Jesus did throughout his ministry, many followed him, didn't they? Because Jesus spoke from the very heart of God. When you read through this, it's a pretty simple message. The Sermon on the Mount. It's very easy to understand, right? And yet there were so many that would not believe it that I think that's the reason Jesus started to cloak his teachings through all the parables, right? Because again, if you got ears and you're using them, you'll hear these words. He told them very plainly what God requires, and many of them rejected it. The astonishing part is even the common man, though, could understand Jesus' doctrine and the simplicity of it all. Years ago, there was a Kevin Sorbo movie called What If? You know, and he was the hero, and he was interacting with an angel, and he was trying to change his life. And the angel said to him a couple times about trying to follow God, "Oh, it's simple. It's just hard. It's hard because it involves dying to ourselves, right? Dying to who we want to be. Being born again of God's Spirit. We fight against that oh so much, don't we?" But I was listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago with a Roman Catholic priest who was talking about Paul. And he made the point that throughout Paul's letters, when Paul became a follower of Christ, he didn't stop being Paul. He was Paul empowered by the Spirit of God. And that's who we're called to be. God made each and every one of us so special. And we think, oh, if we push God away, we can live to our full selves. And he's saying, no, if you live with your Spirit in me, you're not only going to be the Eric you want to be, Eric, but you'll be better. Because you'll be living with me in harmony. You'll be led by my Spirit. And all those things you still like about you, well, not the selfish ones, but the other ones, you know, they'll still be there too. Because I made you, and I made each and every person special and unique and beautiful and wonderful. And they're even living more that way when my Spirit lives within them. That's what Jesus was telling the people in the Sermon on the Mount. He started out by telling them about the Beatitudes, the attitudes of what it is to live in the kingdom of God. Who actually are people living in it? And it wasn't what the men of this world teach, right? And then he told us how we can be salt and light in a world that need it so badly. And then he walked through all the sins that we live with daily, that we don't have to. And even he even pointed out the fact that it's not just the act, it's the thinking. more so than anything else, it's the thinking that gets us in trouble. The coveting, the wanting. He pointed out how we will either vie for man's attention or God's attention. And then he talked about the things where we put our heart, the treasures that we think are important. And he reminded us that when we choose God's treasure, when we choose God, those are eternal things. And when we choose to treasure the temporary, well, of course we live anxiously because it's temporary. And then he called us to love our neighbors as ourselves, or to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. I am absolutely convinced that Jesus gave this message over and over and over again as he traveled the countryside, because when you get down to it, what he covers in the Sermon on the Mount covers so much of what God wants us to know about how we are to be, to live, to love God and our fellow man. And so I love this more than I've ever studied it before. This has been such a fun walk for me. Because again, we have a choice. We can choose to die to ourselves. It's simple, it's just hard, right? And let our Lord live in us and lead us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dearest Jesus, Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you for the words of truth that you have passed down to us so that we may know you, we may know your heart. Lord, we know what's right and wrong, and we know that we don't have the authority to say what is right and wrong in this world. You have that authority. Thank you for creating us to be the people that you made each and every one of us to be, because we are all so different, and yet we have you as our Father, and we all need you. And when we gather in a family like this, Lord, there is abundance and blessing and love. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Bless our week as we go forth, Lord, and may we be salt and light in love with you and pointing others to you as well. Amen.